Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You know, it's... if I could pick anybody that would come on the show and see things the way I do about you...
I've said before, I feel like I'm still doing the show with this guy back in our college days sometimes with you.
Alex Kozora, Steelers Depot, understands that you have enough traits of anger and suit in him. Alex, welcome, and I just would like to point out that I thank you for your service earlier in life that got Matt through.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. And I used to do a draft show in our apartment at a little table for like 2 hours, so we've come a long way, I would say.
All right, so let's go back to the table for a moment. Let's have some fun here. Okay. So let's go back to the days you're doing a draft show with Matt. Give me a player that Matt was passionate about that was a bust.
Oh, man, that's a really good question. I was listening back to them not too long ago. I was trying to think. Matt, do you remember any particular player that you love? You loved any big receiver.
Basically,
I think you're a big
fan
of the big, tall guys. Yeah.
Now, the one you're referring to was the 2013 draft. I was huge on Mike Evans. And we did like a almost...
Well, you got that one.
Yeah,
I think
you got
that
one right. Mike Evans is really, really good. All right? I was kind of thinking, like, you know, you'd go with Irv Charles or somebody. What the hell?
No, I wasn't there, but actually, I loved Tre'Davious White at the time, and Alex
now
said...
Now you're just bragging. Now you're just bragging.
And Alex didn't like it, but it turns out I had that one right, so I was doing something right then.
That's not what the segment's about. Alex, what did Matt get wrong? Okay, we're really good at bragging about the one or two we got right. There had to be 72 we got wrong.
Oh, for sure. I'm trying to think. I wish I could give you a name.
Actually,
right now. But
I know
you're
one.
You're doing a good job introing me. I go, go.
I know one. Derek Wolfe.
Okay. You didn't like Derek Wolfe?
Well, no.
He was pretty good, too, though.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I forgot. Yeah. I had said at the time that he was going to be like a first-round pick or something.
For a guy who's negative on the show all the time, boy, you sure are positive about what you do.
next time, Steve, I will bring a list, I promise, of the things he got wrong.
Alex, I need a list. Well, I can't, to be honest with you, I can't believe off the top of your head you can't name 20. I mean, you want me to give 20 examples on this show just in the last 3 weeks?
Oh, my.
Matt's just rolling his eyes right now. He said, I don't understand. When I play with my kids, they don't give me a hard time. All right, so that's they can't talk yet. All right, so... let me give you three scenarios here that have been brought up in the last, I don't know, 48 hours. Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, Mitchell Trubisky. Are any of them, in your opinion, realistic stopgaps for the Steelers if Mason Rudolph is not what they think is the stopgap?
I think all three are. They're kind of that classic veteran bridge journeyman type of guy who's not going to break the bank. You know, quarterbacks still command a decent amount of money in free agency, and with the cap going up, they won't be that cheap. But, you know, we're talking $6 to $7 million on probably a 1 or 2 year deal, which is very much in the Steelers' wheelhouse right now. And I understand any of those guys are not supposed to be long-term future guys and faces of the franchise, and so you have to look at them with that lens in mind. I will say, of that group, I like Teddy Bridgewater the most. I don't get the Trubisky hype. I didn't like him coming out of North Carolina. Didn't do well in Chicago. I get the system and Nagy wasn't great for him. I'm not sure what 1 year of being the backup in Buffalo changes those circumstances too terribly much. I think people just, you know, you're a year out, you kind of forget about the difficulty in Chicago, and everyone loves the backup quarterback. And so I just can't get on the Trubisky hype train.
You want to know what the hype train is? Out of sight. Out of mind.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody's, like I said, everyone loves a backup.
But nobody's watched him for a year. Right? And, you know, it was Josh Allen. I mean, to be honest with you, a show of hands, how many knew he was with Buffalo? Right? I mean, seriously, a lot of people didn't realize he was Buffalo's backup quarterback. Look, I know Nagy with the system. I think Nagy's system was fine for Trubisky. It was not fine for Justin Fields. right? You've got to take advantage of what the skill set of what your quarterback can do, and you can't force him to do stuff he's not good at. And that's where Justin Fields was hurt by Nagy.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I get Trubisky, even if you want to look at the system, but it's hard to make a lot of excuses for a starting quarterback, you know, and he had a lot of time there, and it didn't really work out for him. And even with the Bills, he threw 8 passes and threw 1 terrible interception in only 8 passes. And so I would just, again, it's not going to be the end of the world. Obviously, he's not the long-term guy, and he's athletic, and every coach though thinks they can fix that first-round quarterback, and very few can.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is that you gave me a choice between Mason Rudolph and Trubisky. I'd take Mason Rudolph. All right. Now, the Steelers, of course, will have the usual back draft. All right. This would be me, Alex, and let me run this theory by you. If I'm the Steeler organization, I'm taking a long, hard look at the quarterbacks in 23 and 24 and start targeting a guy I think I can get out of that. For example, Young and Stroud are both eligible for next year's draft in 23. That's what I would do. I mean, because getting a quarterback in this group, I mean, there's no first-round talent in this group. Mm-hmm. I mean, at all. There's no, the top 32 guys, a quarterback's one of the top 32 guys? No. Not with this group.
Sure. It's a much weaker class. There is no consensus quarterback, let alone a real good feel for, you know, what order all these quarterbacks are going to go, the way that you've kind of had at least a general feel for over the last couple seasons. So I get that point, and you're right. You know, if a quarterback's not there, a quarterback's not there. And there are certainly plenty of other needs for the Steelers to address. We'll see how free agency changes some of that, but offensive line certainly could be off-ball linebacker, potentially safety, add some speed at receiver, a lot of other directions this team needs to go. But I will say, you know, even if you assume there's a Young or a Stroud next year, will you be in position to get that guy? Because Pittsburgh's still unlikely to be. Yeah, you won't. And so, like, if you're picking a 20 next year, you're not getting Bryce Young. So it's a tough situation Pittsburgh's in.
Well, that's why, what did I say? I look at the 23 and 24 quarterbacks. Because in 24, they may be in a spot to draft one.
Right, they could be. But then that's even a further projection out, and it just gets really murky from there. Something like 2023 with those other guys, if they're top picks, if they're, you know, top 5 picks, it may be tough for Pittsburgh to be in that position to get one of those guys, because if they're picking even at 15 or 18 or 21, it's going to cost a lot to trade up. So there's a line to walk for sure.
Or 8. I'm telling you, this team is not that good. They could be drafting 8.
Yeah, they could be. They're in a tough AFC North for sure. It's a lot of competition there, but it's just very rare for them to have bad years. The whole Tomlin's never had a losing season, even in 19 without Ben. They still find a way to go 8-8. So, yeah, I mean, there's a risk there for sure. And there is no slam dunk franchise guy, but I suspect Pittsburgh will certainly explore those options heavily in this year's draft.
Just because he's never had a losing season doesn't mean they don't start happening. Don Shula had losing seasons. All right, so because it's all about talent.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, okay. The Steelers were what were they, 30th in defense last year? Right? Somewhere around there, 30?
Yeah, but I think this defense will be a lot better with the health of guys in 2022.
Okay. They had TJ Watt and Cam Hayward. Really? Two guys that had their best years that are at the front line of that. There's something wrong there.
For sure, yeah, there was a disappointment, absolutely. But I think what the foundation of this, the defense's issues last year were the defensive line and all the injuries there, and with guys like Tyson Alualu returning, Stephon Tuitt, some optimism that he'll come back next year. I think overall it'll be a more stable situation. But I understand your point entirely, because you don't want to reach for a quarterback this year and be stuck with that guy for 2-3 years when you could potentially improve other things this year and go get that Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, or at least attempt to get one of those guys in the future. It's a really good debate.
But there could be another guy. I'm just saying there are other people, too. It's not always just the first two guys. Last I checked, Patrick Mahomes was not the first quarterback off the board in his draft. All right, so now they go into this draft. The combine, I felt the Steelers hit a bad draft patch for about 3 years because they relied on the combine too much. When they got away from the combine and started looking back at them as football players, they started making really good draft picks. But how valuable can the combine be, and is it mostly the interview process or the medical process as opposed to the mumbo-jumbo we see on the screens?
Yeah, you're right, Steve. I think it's largely the latter. It's those things that you can't you know, find out about a player when you watch him on tape or watch him, you know, in a 40-yard dash. It's the interview, it's the medical, get to know who these people are as actual people. And then obviously from the medical component, any injury risk, long-term, short-term type stuff, that's all really important that can make or break some players in this draft. But I think for the Steelers, there's still a value in the combine because I know Kevin Colbert spoke about it. It's an even playing field for all these guys. They're on the same track. They're on the same situation. They're in the same environment. And so it's a lot easier to compare guys one-to-one than competition concerns. And maybe if you're a pro day and you're outside versus inside versus weather and stuff like that. So I do think there is certainly value in the combine just being that even level playing field.
What do you take value in? You know, is it the combine? Is it a tape? Is it I don't know, is it the interview process? Is it pro day? What do you take? You know, which one of those elements, not just one, but elements that you think are important?
Well, the cliche answer is all the above. It's all pieces of that puzzle that come together. But I think the tape rules the day. I mean, that's ultimately the most expansive information you have is a guy's body of work, of his play, not just what he did, you know, training for 2 months to run a 40 and stuff like that. It's what he's done for his 3, 4, 5 years, however long he was in college for. And I think that has to be the thing that drives your draft board. It does for me. You know, who do you want is based majority off of the tape.
All right, so let's get to the draft board. Hey, have you started putting together what you think is a draft board as a starting point?
Started that. Again, the combine will influence that. We have a big board on Steelers Depot that I don't personally write. We have a great writer, Scott Pavel, that does that. He put together his first edition the other day. But for me, in terms of what the Steelers, I think, will do, a lot of it does come down to that pro day circuit and where those guys end up. But certainly, we're working towards building that list of names that could really be on the Steelers radar.
In the combine, then, in the combine, what positions are you looking for and what elements are you looking for that you Steelers should be thinking about?
Well, obviously the quarterbacks, but I think everyone understands that. But I think offensive line in particular and just how some of these guys test. And it's not about the 40 for the offensive lineman. Obviously, it's a lot about 10 splits and some of those agility drills and things like that, how they move overall. But I think it'll be really good to watch some of this offensive line class. It's a really strong tackle class overall. The interior lineman, not quite as strong, but there could be some really good guard and center prospects at pick 20 for Pittsburgh, whether that's a Kenyon Green from Texas A&M, Zion Johnson from Boston College, Tyler Linder Bomb from Iowa is the top center in this class. And so if quarterback's not on the Steelers radar for whatever reason at pick 20, I think you have to pivot towards offensive line and start looking at one of those names I just mentioned.
Linderbaum, by the way, is a big time player, just so you know. Big time player. Moves well, snaps well, blocks really well, good on run block, pass protection. I've seen the guy on tape and I've seen him in person. See, that's what I go by. In other words, how does a guy look against top-flight competition? I mean, his tens, his shuttles, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? That all comes out during a game. Okay? How did Tyler Linderbaum perform when he was against P.J. Mustipher? Because I know how good P.J. is. Right? If he's holding his own and winning half the time, that tells me he should be in the NFL. If he's not, he shouldn't be. That's my gauge is playing.
Sure.
Right? My gauge is not about, oh, look, it's the Underwear Olympics. Fabulous. I really loved how he ran the shuttle. All right, that's just people trying to justify their jobs.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think you made a really important point, Steve. It's not just about the tape, but it's about who you're going against. And when you went against the best guys, how did you look? Because when you're in the NFL, there are no days off, there are no plays off. You're facing the best of the best every single time. And so for Rasheed Walker from Penn State, for example, first game I put on to him, how did he do against Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan?
Yes.
And viewed that battle. And so I think that's a really critical point within the tape of who you're going against. Because you want to get the freshman versus a top draft pick, totally different story.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point, Alex, because, in the NFL, you're right. Every single matchup is a son of a gun. I mean, all the time, because you know where I see it? If you go to an NFL game, and you go to them all the time, so I have to tell you, watch special teams. You know what you see on special teams? Everybody can run. Like, holy mackerel. I mean, that's the athletes in the NFL are incredible. And you see it on special teams because it's more wide in the wide open field. There's nobody out there that's out there jogging. I mean, it's all like watching like 11 Matt Catrillos.
I got to put that in a scouting report somewhere or something. No, that's a great point. I think the other component of special teams is it reminds you of how good the NFL is, where you're watching the guys running down kicking punts. They were the college stars. Like, Benny Snell was one of the top SEC players in his time, and now he's running down kicks and punts as a backup running back. And so that reminds you about the quality competition and how even the special teamers were the college all-stars.
And then there's another one, too. When you're drafting rounds 4 through 7, do you look at guys, Alex, along the way that not only, how will they fit into the team, but also can play special teams?
Absolutely, because you know those guys around, 4 through 7, even undrafted guys, day three types, they're unlikely to be in a starting role, and so they're going to have to make their, way and climb that ladder through special teams, through getting a helmet. And there are so many stories of that for every single team around the league of guys that have climbed that ladder. So I think absolutely you look at, can this guy play special teams? Has he done it? Does he have the traits to translate and the want to make that adjustment? Because if you can't play in special teams and you're a 4th, 5th round pick, you're not going to get a helmet. You're not going to last long in the NFL.
So in the next couple of weeks, can we get you back prepared with some of Matt Catrillo's greatest hits?
I promise. I will have a long list. I will have a Kyler Murray agent list of names that Catrillo's whiffed on over the years.
Oh, boy.
This is an opportunity, Matt, for the audience to get to know you better.
I thought they knew that already, but, well... Actually, there's some things that they could probably find out.
Now, again, Alex and I both understand it's a family show. So, so what do you even say we're going to get to know that well? All right. Alex, you're awesome. It's great. I love the fact you and Matt are such good friends because it allows us to get you on the show. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Matt. Take care.